This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Police body cameras are slowly catching on in North Carolina. Five of the six largest cities in the state have police forces with body cameras or have announced that they will soon be getting them. More departments are signing on as conversations continue about the use of force and police accountability. Body cameras also raise questions about the privacy of the people they record and when it's appropriate for the footage to become public record. Jeff Welty's been studying this balance of privacy and accountability. He's a professor of public law and government at UNC Chapel Hill and joins me now on the State of Things. Welcome back, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
Tell us how common body cameras are in North Carolina.
Well, as you said in the intro, five of our six largest municipal police departments have already either equipped every officer with body cameras or have announced plans to do so. Smaller departments face greater resource constraints, and so the technology is probably not as widespread there, but it's coming like a tsunami as a change in the profession.
What's causing that change?
Public demand, mostly. Ever since Ferguson and even before, concerns about police use of force, transparency, accountability have really driven public interest in body-worn cameras. But some police departments also find that equipping officers with cameras reduces the number of complaints against officers, reduces the number of incidents in which officers and civilians are entangled in the use of force against one another. So there's benefits to both sides, potentially.
Well, talk a little bit about that evidence. You say some forces are finding. How conclusive is that evidence? That is to say that complaints are going down. Is that pretty generalizable? Are we finding that everywhere police cameras are in use or in most places?
It's still early days for the technology, in my view. There have been a couple of studies on kind of controlled studies where parts of a force were equipped with cameras and parts weren't. So Rialto, California did the first big study in 2012. They saw a 50% reduction in use of force incidents, almost a 90% reduction in complaints. Orlando and Phoenix have done studies with similar but less impressive results. But to my mind, there's still only a few studies in a few places. There's a potential pilot program effect. So I don't think it's a sealed deal yet, but all the studies so far do point in the same direction.
All right. So how much do municipalities usually have to pay to equip police with body cameras?
The price is coming down, but they're still pretty expensive. The leading vendor in this space is Taser, the same company that makes the Taser device itself. And most of their cameras cost $600 to $800 per unit. And then there's storage cost, which can be even more considerable. There are competitors in the market space that are less expensive. So I think over time it becomes more affordable. But again, storage cost, as the amount of video stored piles up, that becomes considerable, especially for smaller departments.
Right, as you say, what's driving this is this concern about police accountability and even thoughts about in some departments and among some chiefs that maybe this will protect our officers. If we have the evidence, it's going to go a long way to sort of proving our case if we have to make one. All of that behind the demand for cameras. There's another side to this, which is privacy. And when do we release the footage? Talk about that debate and what the law says or sort of what we know about how we can govern the use of the footage.
Right. I think there are two concerns there. One is, how much are officers going to record? And the second is, how much are they going to release? On the first issue of how much they're going to record, officers frequently deal with people who are intoxicated or emotional or engaged in misconduct or doing something that they shouldn't be doing or are crime victims or are inside their own private homes. And so there are a lot of questions around when and where officers should record and when and where they shouldn't record. And right now, different departments are answering those questions in different ways. The second issue is, once we've recorded stuff, who are we going to release it to? And that creates both a privacy issue. Do we want to release this footage of people not in their best moments widely to the public? It also creates legal issues under current law about whether that footage could be a personnel record, in which case it would be confidential, or whether there's some right of public access to it. And those aren't easy questions under our state statutes as they're currently written. Some states have adopted new body camera legislation to try to address those issues. North Carolina hasn't done that yet.
What about cities? Do they have policies, and are they allowed to, by law, to develop their own policies?
They do, and they are, and those policies vary considerably. So, for example, some cities will say, if you're a person who's depicted on body camera footage, you've got a right to come into the police department and look at it. Some cities will even release it under some circumstances, and some cities will say, there's no right of public access, this is all a confidential personnel record, and we're not going to release anything. So we're very much in a state of flux right now, and there's a good aspect of that in that different municipalities can respond to their unique constituencies and situations, and we can have a lot of experimentation. But there's also a lack of uniformity that for some folks is troubling.
You know, on that first point you made, when do we use them? When do we turn them on? It seems to me that's determined in large part by the second question. Well, how is this footage going to be protected? I mean, if you know that you've got pretty good rules about when and how this is released to the public, then, you know, the answer might be, well, you always turn them on because we can keep them from public view if by some process we determine it shouldn't be released.
Yeah, that's right. Although if you always turn them on, you're exacerbating the storage cost issue, and you've got a lot of footage of officers, you know, walking down the street by themselves that isn't ultimately very helpful. But I guess they're all intertwined and they're all complicated. And that's part of the message that I have is this is a promising technology. There's some clear benefits to it or appear to be. But there's also some concerns that really need to be taken into account. And folks need to be really thoughtful and deliberate about when they're recording, what they're keeping, how long they're keeping it, and who they're releasing it to.
Is there anything sort of in the rules of jurisprudence that would prohibit localities or states from making these distinctions about when it's used? In other words, if we think it's important in the court case, then the jury may see it, the judge may see it, but it may not be released to the public. Or can't you do that? Once it's on the record as a criminal proceeding, are we not allowed to keep it from public view?
Even if it's used in criminal court, there might be circumstances under which it could be filed under seal or otherwise kept from public view. But once it's introduced in court, the general rule is going to be that it's available to the public. I think in most places, the concern really isn't about stuff that's being used in court. It's about pre-court proceedings when there's public demand to see a use of force incident, or even when there's just a prurient public interest in what the police are doing and what they've been up to and what they saw when they responded to a neighbor's house. Unfortunately, we live in an era where any interesting public information that gets released ends up posted on the internet. And when police are dealing with folks who aren't at their best moments, that can be a troubling problem.
But the point is, you can always write rules about that.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what, for example, Durham right now is engaged in a really robust debate about when and under what circumstances footage is going to be released. And it's a conflict between folks who want to maximize accountability and transparency and want release of as much footage as possible and folks who are really concerned with these privacy interests. So there's both a political balance to be struck. And as I mentioned earlier, there's also legal considerations under current law.
Well, you mentioned Durham. The city council postponed a vote on funding body cameras because some members are concerned that a policy hasn't been written yet. How do you see this playing out in places like Durham, where there have been a lot of questions about accountability and mistrust? There has been, you know, a profound effort to address issues of mistrust. How useful is it, I guess, as a remedy to rebuild police relations with the community?
That's a great question. And in my mind, it's a piece of the puzzle, but it's not the whole puzzle. So, for example, in Fayetteville, Chief Medlock has implemented body-worn cameras as one part of a multi-pronged strategy to rebuild trust between the law enforcement community and the greater community. It's not the only thing he's doing. And I think anybody who thinks of body-worn cameras as a cure-all is making a mistake. In fact, they've got to be just one part of a broader approach. And in fact, the resources required to commit to body-worn cameras sometimes can trade off with or take away from, for example, officer retraining or community outreach or other parts of the strategy. So again, it's a balance for a law enforcement agency as far as how quickly they want to push it, how many resources they want to commit to it, and what other initiatives they need to be considering.
So that's part of the answer, I guess, pushback, because we've heard that there are some police forces that like the idea of having evidence, for themselves. They see it as protection in some cases. Maybe you just highlighted some of the pushback or some of the resistance in those resources could be used otherwise. Are there other objections among police agencies to using these cameras?
I think in some part it's just police feeling like they're being singled out in a way that doesn't feel to them to be fair, that they feel like they're honorably doing the job they're hired to do, and why should they be wearing cameras when public school teachers aren't wearing cameras to see how they treat the kids in their charge? So I think that's part of the concern for law enforcement. But again, the attitudes among law enforcement vary so widely, and my impression is that in agencies that have started using cameras, most of those objections have faded away. Just like when car-mounted cameras were first introduced, some officers were resistant, but after a few years of using the technology, for the most part, it just kind of settled into a routine.
What's happening now at the state level regarding body cameras?
There's a subcommittee of a General Assembly committee that's looking at body cameras. The General Assembly's already funded $2.5 million this fiscal year and next fiscal year to support agencies that want to acquire body cameras. And this subcommittee is looking at whether there could be statewide policies or changes to state law that might clarify some of the issues around how body cameras are implemented and when the footage would be subject to release. So that's an active issue for the legislature, and those subcommittee meetings have been very, very well attended.
All right, Jeff, always a pleasure. Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.
Jeff Welty is a professor of public law and government at UNC Chapel Hill. There's more of the State of Things just ahead. Stay tuned to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.